Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found, but...
Yeah, we did. We started to burn many things we found. That's the Divine Dar Williams singing with Pete Seeger and David Burns, singing the Solartopia theme song for our Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. We're glad you could join us. We've been talking today about Diablo Canyon, the nuclear power plant on the earthquake faults in California. We have just had the unpleasant experience of reading an article in Mother Jones magazine, of all places, about people pushing to keep Diablo Canyon open. And we're going to talk about the detail of this horrific threat to the human race that continues to operate on the earthquake faults at San Luis Obispo between San Francisco and Los Angeles. It's of significance to all of us because it is the single plant that is upwind of, in the United States, of all of North America, and God knows what it could do. We're going to find out and talk about it more today and about the prospects for shutting this thing. We are joined by Jim and Mary Beth from Eon Films Production, the Environmental Options Network, in Bolinas, California. Jim and Mary Beth, are you with us?
Yeah, we're here, Harvey.
Okay, you guys are on the same line. We're also going to be joined by Cynthia Papermaster. Cynthia, are you with us yet? Okay, Cynthia will be joining us. She's in Las Vegas, Nevada, nearby. She's going to talk. She lives in Berkeley and going to talk to us about the Berkeley City Council's recent resolution to shut Diablo Canyon. And Donna Gilmore. Donna, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Donna, great. I'm so glad you're with us. You're in Southern California. You've been instrumental in shutting the San Onofre reactors and dealing with the issues there, and you have responded online to this insane piece on Diablo Canyon and these completely irresponsible fools who are out there trying to keep it open. I hesitate to use the word fools. Some of these are very smart people who've been around a long time and have been active in the movement on global warming, but simply do not seem to get it about what's going on with Diablo Canyon. And we do this on a national show because, God forbid, something should happen at Diablo Canyon. It would affect everybody in the Northern Hemisphere, that's for sure. And it's very much akin to some other reactors around the country. The Davis-Bessey nuclear plant, which is literally crumbling outside of Toledo, the two reactors at Indian Point, north of New York City, that are absolute catastrophes in progress. We don't want to call these accidents waiting to happen because they're actually accidents in progress. Let's start with you, Jim and Mary Beth. You have put out on the Internet a major piece linking California and Diablo Canyon to Fukushima. I just looking at online, people are starting to compare the radiation levels in the soil in and around Tokyo to those around Chernobyl, where they were evacuating people. And they, you know, Fukushima continues to spew radiation into the air and water in Japan. And people are now saying that, you know, this is really a very serious situation in terms of ongoing radioactive contamination. Of course, they want to bring the Olympics now to Japan. But let's talk about Diablo Canyon. Jim, and Mary Beth, give us a summary of what you've said in your most recent piece. Tell us where people can get it. And then, Donna, if you'll chime in on the specifics of the dangers at Diablo. I want to say, it's a bit of a long-winded introduction here, but I want to say that over the years, we have heard these advocates of nuclear power talking about a new generation of atomic reactors. And I and many others, you know, we've fought them and we've met them in the field, and refuted their arguments, but I really never took it all that seriously, because anybody who knows anything about energy and the rise of solar and the markets in the world today on atomic power know that there's just not going to be another generation of nuclear power plants. And these guys want to go out there and advocate new nuclear plants and blah, blah, blah. I mean, they're going to waste billions of dollars, but it ain't going to happen. But now they've crossed the line, and these people are now fighting to keep open the Diablo Canyon nuclear plant, which is, as far as I'm concerned, you know, one of the 99 greatest threats to the survival of the human race on the North American continent. And they can make a difference here. They were never going to be able to get a new generation of nukes. I don't care what they did, but they could hinder our ability to shut Diablo Canyon. So Jim and Mary Beth, if you'll start, and Donna, jump in on the dangers that we're facing at Diablo Canyon and the challenges we face in shutting it. I'd really appreciate it.
Well, Harvey, the risks should be obvious to anyone. Here you have an aging power plant on 13 intersecting earthquake faults, potentially active in a tsunami zone, and it's run by a company, Pacific Gas and Electric, or PG&E, that's under both state and federal investigations. Felony indictments for its negligence in handling the recent a gas explosion at San Bruno. And it's a deadly combination, a corrupt utility and an aging hulk of a plant.
Let me jump in right here. We're going to cover a lot of ground. We have the full hour. So I would like you and Mary Beth and Donna and Cynthia to explain to us, before we proceed, what happened at San Bruno, and what was PG&E's role in blowing up a neighborhood and killing eight people, and what happened there?
Well, for years, the people who were working, apparently, I've seen articles describing one in particular manager of the safety for the gas pipelines who had been actually trying to get the attention of his superiors at PG&E about problems in the field with these gas pipelines. And he had actually been taken to a hotel, by PG&E personnel, and had his car taken away from him. And then he was told if he didn't be quiet about the problems with the gas pipelines, he could face some severe threats to his well-being. And that...
You mean this whistleblower faced direct threats from the company? And
yeah.
You need to speak direct,
yes, he did.
Speak directly into the mic. Mary Beth and all of you, please speak directly into the mic or your phone. But you're telling me that this whistleblower who warned about problems with the gas lines at San Bruno...
No, in general, I'm not sure if it was right at San Bruno, but it was definitely the gas pipelines. And I heard about it as his lawsuit was being filed by a lawyer that we were in touch with. And then I heard about that lawsuit because he then was fired, and then he sued the company. And then it was like 10 days later that the explosion occurred.
Tell us about
it. It killed, I think, eight people and destroyed major part of a neighborhood.
54 homes were destroyed or damaged.
And so this is a gas pipeline owned by Pacific Gas and Electric, in the town of San Bruno, which is south of San Francisco, a very wealthy community, I believe. And they were warned by a member of the company that there were problems with gas lines. They came down on him. Would they fire him? And 10 days later, was he fired or disciplined?
Not only fired him, but they threatened they threatened him, physically threatened him, and he had taken pictures of problems. And the basic, then there was a federal investigation because this was so outrageous. And what was found was that the company was charging the ratepayers for maintenance that they never did. They didn't even keep records adequately. So this, the federal government has been very clear that PG&E had big problems with their safety culture, quote unquote, and they're still under federal indictment for criminal safety violations.
And so 10 days after they...
They just paid a They just paid a $16 million fine for illegal backroom communication with regulators as well. So this is a huge utility that has a track record that will make your hair stand on end.
Well, this is Donna. I'd like to make the connection to this pipeline issue in Diablo.
Okay. Let's make it clear. Let's summarize here. We have what was once at one point the biggest utility, private utility in the country, if not the world, and they run pipelines all over the Northern California region. They were warned by one of their own people that there were problems with the pipelines. They went after this person, threatened him physically, fired him. 10 days after they did that, there was a major explosion. I'm seeing a major explosion of their pipelines, their badly maintained pipelines, whose records they falsified criminally. The pipeline blows up 50 houses in San Bruno. This is not like the third world. This is San Bruno is a very upscale community. They blow up 50 houses. They kill 8 people. And nobody, well, now they're under indictment. No one has yet gone to a jail, I guess. When did this happen? 2010, right? This is like 6 years ago. So 6 years ago, still nobody is in prison from Pacific Gas and Electric. This is the company that owns and operates the Diablo Canyon reactor. So Donna, jump on in now.
One other bizarre fact about that is ground zero for that explosion was the home of the California Public Utility Commission employee who was in charge of the gas regulatory oversight.
And she and her daughter were both killed in the explosion.
Oh, my God. And they were PUC employees?
But see, this is, I think just to put it in context a little bit, you know, this is part of the regulatory capture in California of the Public Utility Commission, and we can talk more about that later. Donna, did you have something?
Yeah, Donna, go ahead.
This is actually a very simple thing. PG&E did not inspect or maintain gas lines. The Brown administration did not. There wasn't sufficient oversight to make sure that they were doing what they should do. They didn't have to do it, apparently. We have the same thing going on with Diablo Canyon. There are a lot of parts of Diablo Canyon that are inaccessible to even inspect, let alone maintain. The plant was designed for a 40-year lifespan. I attended a technical meeting that the NRC had last week where they were talking about relicensing aging reactors. And in there, they talked about how there are a whole lot of parts, critical structures of these nuclear plants that they can't even inspect, let alone repair. So they were trying to figure out, well, let's see. Well, if the part we can see is okay, that must mean the rest is okay. I mean, this is the kind of thinking that's going on at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. So we have basically nuclear plants that are designed to fail. The only question is what that date's going to be. You don't need an earthquake. These things are going to happen.
Donna, why don't you talk about that last LER?
Oh, yes. They had part of the critical cooling system. They had a weld crack, and it shut down part of the cooling system. There's not supposed to be one little weld that shuts down part of the cooling system. I mean, but the NRC has gave them a pass before for the same problem a few years ago, and then it's happening again. And this is typical. I mean, I used to think the NRC was doing their job, and I'm finding out they give safety exemptions all the time because they are so captured by the nuclear industry. Now, Diablo, I mean, PG&E, I heard them make the claim that they inspect, for example, their dry storage system. Well, that is not true because the technology doesn't exist to even inspect it. And what's worse than that, they installed the nuclear waste, they call fuel assemblies, they installed them backwards in the storage canisters. And the NRC is giving them a pass on that. So
Wait. Stop a minute. Donna, stop a minute. Repeat that sentence. You're talking about a major piece of equipment, and they installed it backwards?
Oh, well, the spent fuel canisters that store the nuclear waste that comes out of the reactor, they installed them backwards. They put the hot ones around the outside and the cool ones on the inside, and that's not going to disperse the heat, so it can destroy the protective cladding and then damage the fuel in there. So we could have some major problems just with these dry storage containers.
It's called a loading order.
They have these fuel assemblies that go in these slots inside these canisters, and they put them in the wrong place. So you're going to end up with areas overheating, which could damage the fuel cladding that provides some level of protection from radiation. And they did it over a number of years. How many canisters?
How many?
Everyone but one. I should have that number in front of me, but I don't have it in front of me. But it's every single one they have. And then Diablo also was the nuclear industry has a kind of a lab they use that does analysis. It's called EPRI, Electric Power Research Institute. They looked at the temperature of some of those canisters that are stored there and inspected them for potential salts on there, which can corrode the canisters and cause them to fail. And they found a two-year-old canister. The canister was only 2 years old, and it had already had the conditions for cracking. And once a crack starts, it can go through the wall of the container in 16 years. So it can start leaking in 16 years. You add that with the...
Wait. Tell them what could leak out of those cracks.
Well, all the radiation. Each canister contains about, for example, each canister contains about as much cesium-137 as was released from Chernobyl. Just one of those canisters is like a Chernobyl. So you only need one to fail. So that's an extremely critical issue. Down at San Onofre, these canisters have been loaded since 2003. So potentially in 7 years we could have a major radiation release at down in Southern California here. The Diablo ones, I think they were installed in 2006 or 2008. I have the records. So from running the plant to and not doing maintenance to misleading the public, misleading the regulators, all the way to the storage, misleading our elected officials and regulators, this whole system's designed to fail. You know, that's from every end. We don't need an earthquake, but
that's right.
These canisters are probably already cracking, just like parts of the nuclear plant are already cracking, because that's what happens when you have concrete and metal. Things corrode and wear out. And by the way, there's no seismic rating for a cracked canister or a cracked nuclear reactor. They assume in all their seismic evaluations that they give out, saying what it can withstand, they assume all materials are in perfect condition.
And many people understand that these were all only designed to last for 40 years.
Right.
4-0.
Yeah, and that article in Mother Jones, what they don't point out is we have a 40% surplus of energy. We don't even need Diablo Canyon. The governor's office admitted to that to me personally. The legislative analyst's office admitted that in documentation. The California ISO, independent, I forgot what it stands for now. Anyway, they know we don't need Diablo. And the issue on the gas, where they use gas to try and replace things, they refuse to consider using renewables. Our current, the way our California government is set up right now, they are giving all the renewable projects and energy efficiency to the private utility companies. They should go to another state agency that doesn't have a conflict of interest, because we give billions of dollars of ratepayer money for energy efficiency programs. We give it to the private utility companies, and they squander it. They do not have good programs. You look at the public utilities in California, like SMUD, Sacramento Municipal Utility District, they have real energy efficiency programs. I mean, we can save up to 50% of our usage just by energy efficiency programs. That's the real situation. Mother Jones' article was full of so much wrong information, claiming that
We'll come back to that in a minute. Okay. We're talking with Jim and Mary Beth at EON, Environmental Options Network in Northern California, in Bolinas. Donna Gilmore in Southern California, instrumental in shutting down the San Onofre plant, and now very focused on Diablo Canyon. Cynthia Papermaster, have you joined us? Cynthia? Oh, I guess she's not with us yet. Okay, because I wanted to mention there has been a resolution passed by the Berkeley City Council to shut Diablo Canyon, and hopefully...
I'm on with you guys.
Oh, you are? Cynthia, yeah. Let's jump in just for a minute, because we're going to get into greater detail here on Diablo Canyon. Tell us about this resolution that the Berkeley City Council has passed, and then we'll go back. I want to talk about that Mother Jones article, but you have been instrumental with some others on the Berkeley City Council. This has been a long time coming, and tell us about this resolution.
Hi, Mary Beth and Jim, and hi, Donna.
Hi, Cynthia.
Talking to you from Nevada, where I'm visiting my 95-year-old mother. And, Harvey, the Berkeley City Council passed a resolution, this is not the first time, to shut Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant. And the resolution was introduced by Chris Worthington of the City Council of Berkeley, a wonderful City Council member, an ally. The resolution passed with 8 votes and 1 abstention. The abstention is somebody running for mayor of Berkeley, by the way, and we're not going to vote for him. He's really not somebody we want as our mayor. But anyway, back to the resolution. It calls for the governor to exercise his powers to direct the Public Utilities Commission I don't know. Do you want me to just read this? It's pretty short.
Yeah, go ahead. Please do read
okay.
it. Please
appear. Okay, it's pretty short. Whereas on June 19, 2012, the Berkeley City Council passed a resolution petitioning Governor Brown to direct the California Public Utilities Commission to decommission Diablo Canyon and San Onofre nuclear power plants and to initiate renewable power generation. Yay! Whereas this action called upon Governor Brown to exercise his powers to direct the PUC to call for replacing aging reactors with clean and renewable energy generation by the end of the current licenses of California's nuclear power plants at Diablo and San Onofre, to decommission California nuclear power plants and transition to green, non-nuclear power generation sources, and calling for withholding license renewal for Diablo Canyon and San Onofre until seismic issues and off-site permanent storage are resolved. And whereas Diablo Canyon Nuclear Power Plant sits near several earthquake fault lines, with one fault a mere 2,000 feet from Diablo Canyon's two reactors and only 985 feet from the plant's intake structure, and whereas despite enforcing seismic regulations in similar situations elsewhere, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission hasn't sufficiently enforced them at Diablo Canyon, and whereas the Diablo Canyon reactors are not in full compliance with state and federal water quality laws, and now therefore be it resolved by the City Council of Berkeley that the Council calls on the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to reject the license renewal of the Diablo Canyon Nuclear Power Plant, and be it further resolved that the Berkeley City Council requests the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to create a plan to shut down the Diablo Canyon reactors. At least, I'm just getting choked up because this is so wonderful, at least until a satisfactory federal and state investigation has been conducted to evaluate the ability of Diablo Canyon to withstand an earthquake, and until its owners have installed the necessary equipment to come into compliance with the law and have demonstrated that they are doing so. So that is the resolution that was passed. And there's a further attachment. I'm not going to read it, but it's a letter to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to reject the license and to shut down the plant until a satisfactory federal and state investigation has been conducted to evaluate the ability of Diablo Canyon to withstand an earthquake, and recommending that the owners of the property, and that is PG&E, we've been talking about the criminal PG&E Corporation. It's not a public utility at all. It's owned by a private corporation with shareholders and profits to be made. It requires the owners to install the necessary safety and seismic equipment for it to come into compliance with federal, state, and local law, because they are way, way out of compliance on the issue. So, yay, Berkeley.
Wow. Well, that's fantastic. Cynthia?
I also want to just mention that this letter about the resolution is going to California Governor Jerry Brown, the Attorney General Kamala Harris, State Senator Lonnie Hancock, Assembly Member Tony Thurmond, Senator Dianne Feinstein, Senator Barbara Boxer, Congressmember Barbara Lee, President Barack Obama, the California Energy Commission, and the California Water Quality Board, in addition to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and the Public Utilities Commission. So
no,
I think they covered everything.
We should. Is the State Lands Commission on there too?
I don't see the Lands Commission on here, but I am in touch with the author of this resolution, Chris Worthington, and I want to find out if we can add to this. So you would like me to add the Lands Commission?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Let's explain that real quick, because this is a major dynamic. We have a guy in California named Gavin Newsom who is the lieutenant governor and running for governor. He is on the Land Commission, and the Land Commission in California does have the ability to do some things that will impact the future of the Duke. Can one of you discuss this leverage that we have with the Land Commission?
Yeah, well, not just before the end of the year, Gavin Newsom, the lieutenant governor, who also chairs the California Land Commission, said in a public meeting, and I quote, "I don't think that PG&E in its quiet moments would disagree that this may not have been the ideal site for a plant. And I just don't see that this plant is going to survive beyond 2024 or 25. So that really kind of sparked some discussion. And so that's how Schallenberger and the Save Diablo Canyon plant popped up. But there's also been a very recent development that I think you'll be interested in, and that is that Senator Bill Monning, who is the senator from that region surrounding Diablo Canyon, has recently proposed a bill that would require PG&E to do an economic impact study.
PG&E is doing the
PG&E
study?
Would do its own study of the environment, the economic impacts on that region, which is basically a corporate-owned company.
Well, it's the fifth largest employer in the area.
Well, it's essentially a company county. But in any event, this would, although I suppose it's well-intentioned to get people to prepare for the inevitable close down, it also would strengthen PG&E's ability to put out propaganda about how terrible it's going to be for the state and the region. And that would kind of counterbalance what Gavin Newsom has proposed or ordered, and that is that the State Lands Commission do an ecological study, impact study, of the continued operation of Diablo. So you basically have these two state agencies taking what looks like opposite sides of the issue.
What state agency other than the state lands?
Well, state agency and then
the
legislature.
My understanding is that the state owns some land that has been leased to PG&E that they need to have leases on to continue to operate Diablo.
Yeah,
that that's what the Lands Commission has to approve or disapprove.
It's tidal lands.
And so it's the IDAL. And so the State Lands Commission would have the capability of pulling these leases and thereby threatening the continued operation of Diablo Canyon. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And when
Newsom has ordered that the staff do a study of the ecological...
It's the California Environmental Quality Act, the CEQA.
Mm-hmm. Of the environmental impact of the continued operation of the plant, which we already know has been devastating to the local ocean environment.
Is there any study, I'm interested, you mentioned the ocean environment, is there any study that indicates an improved ecological situation at San Onofre since it's been shut?
The ratepayers have had to, we've had to spend money for some kind of a mitigation to put in artificial reefs, and that's been evaluated by the Coastal Commission and determined that it didn't work. All right, they have. So what the Coastal Commission did is just lower the standards some. So there's no reason to believe any proposed mitigation plan by PG&E would even work. It's likely not to, and we have the San Onofre case to demonstrate that. There's one other part I think is important to know here. The State Lands Commission is made up of three commissioners, one appointed by the governor, Gavin Newsom, Lieutenant Governor, and then the State Controller of California, which is an elected official. So the Lieutenant Governor and the Controller are independent of the Governor. They do not have to. They're not appointed by the Governor, so they don't have to follow his direction. So the hope is that we have at least two impartial, strong leaders that will do the right thing. The controller has a very good reputation. I used to work at the state controller's office, and there were numerous times that they would take a different position than the governor. So that is one hope. So it's good to know that dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Well,
the whole contest is really heated up because it really is a showdown here in California that folks around the country should be paying attention to, because it raises issues that have implications beyond California.
Well, tell us about this confrontation now. We have successfully shut the two reactors at San Onofre, thank God. And so we're down now to two reactors in California, these gargantuan 1,100-megawatt monsters. surrounded by earthquake faults at San Luis Obispo. What is the status now? What is the status now of the battle to shut these reactors?
Well, the status is building up to a perfect storm, we're hoping, because there is this question with the State Lands Commission and Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, who wants to become governor, is taking a bit of a stand to say that he didn't think it would be likely to relicense it, and he's willing to let the State Lands Commission weigh in on the question, and it sounds like in a positive way, it could be. Plus, then there's the State Water Commission that has the decision about whether or not to implement a law that would require PG&E to spend a lot of money on once through to
cooling.
You know, it's once through cooling is the law that they would have to comply with, and that would possibly cost them billions of dollars, and therefore, hopefully, not be seen.
I'm having a lot of trouble hearing Mary Beth. Mary Beth, can you speak a little louder?
Speak into the microphone, Mary Beth.
Okay. Is this better?
Well, go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. So the State Water Commission, the State Lands Commission are involved, and we're hoping that the fact that these two commissions can weigh in a positive way, together with the fact that the whistleblower from the NRC who revealed his analysis showing that he thought the whole plant should be shut down immediately until...
Well, now, Mary Beth, I just want to say that Dr. Michael Peck, who was the chief safety inspector at Diablo Canyon, working for the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, doesn't consider himself a whistleblower. He considers that he was doing his job recommending shutting Diablo because it's not safe.
I see. He would not like to be called a whistleblower because, right, he was just doing his job. That's right. It was.
And, of course, Dr. Michael Peck, who was the chief inspector at Diablo Canyon and who recommended that the plant be shut down, was transferred from Diablo Canyon to Chattanooga, Tennessee. I'm surprised they didn't send him to Chelyabinsk. But,
yeah,
you know,
really.
At any rate, and they have completely ignored his recommendations and his warnings. Now, a new development in this whole fight against Diablo, and of course we have escalated the pressure to shut Diablo, and it's informed in part by the astonishing revolution going on in renewable energy in California. We talked last week with Paul Kangas and Jacques Leslie about the changes in the law in California. Just in the last few weeks, the California Public Utilities Commission has approved a 15 cent per kilowatt hour payback in cash for a solar rooftop electricity in California. This is a huge deal. And what's also happened now is that we've had the rise of one of these pro-nuclear groups. And this is a bunch of, this is a guy in Berkeley who, he's playing kind of the role of Patrick Moore. There was a guy named Patrick Moore who was an early Greenpeace person. And Patrick Moore disappeared for 20 years and then he came out of the woodwork as a pro-nuker. And they always
him.
And they said, you know, here's the founder of Greenpeace and now he supports nuclear power and blah, blah, blah. But Patrick Moore was talking about a new generation of reactors, and he was joined by James Hansen and some other people, the guy who did Whole Earth Catalog, and they were out there arguing for new nuclear plants. And it was, you know, it was a bit of a circus. They were all talking about the nuclear renaissance. And, you know, I always thought it was just ridiculous. And, you know, they want to go out and do this gig and advocate new nukes. Go right ahead, because it ain't going to happen. There just are not going to be new nuclear plants. There is not going to be a new generation of nuclear power plants, because solar has completely transcended, and it's just not going to happen. But,
well,
you know, now,
I think we should also mention Professor Mark Jacobson at Stanford and his Solutions Project, where he says we're ready now to transition. We've got the technology. We can transition to renewable energy now. We certainly don't need new nukes. And he debated Stuart Brand, the publisher of the Whole Earth Catalog, who's a pro-nuke guy.
And
I think he did a good job of debating him.
You can see that on the TED.
Yeah, I'd like to. This is Donna. I'd like to mention one thing. We were successful in shutting San Onofre. But what that took to do, I mean, Friends of the Earth came on board, a local person in Laguna Beach gave millions of dollars to Friends of the Earth, and they came in and they had very professional activists, lobbyists, attorneys, expert witnesses. We had a strong grassroots effort with good, substantiated messages. We were able to convince city councils, county superintendents. We had strong evidence that where they ended up supporting a resolution to keep San Onofre shut down, and that went to Barbara Boxer, on the chair of the Energy Commission, to help lobby. So there were a lot of parts that together took care of it. And lucky for Diablo, Friends of the Earth has decided to take on the Diablo Canyon fight. So they're working very hard on this. I know they're working on a shoestring budget, so I just want to put in a pitch for Friends of the Earth, because it took a lot of money to take on Southern California Edison and all the rest of them to get San Onofre shut down. These are not, you know, cheap projects. We're up against a lot.
Right. And that's very good. And it was an amazing victory. And I'm glad to hear that Friends of the Earth is with us again on Diablo Canyon. So you have this kind of clown car of pro-nukers out there with wrapping themselves in green, Stuart Brand and James Hansen and some other folks. And, you know, as long as they're out there advocating new nukes, frankly, I couldn't care less. They're going to waste a lot of money. You know, they'll waste our time a little bit. But, you know, it ain't going to happen. It was never going to happen. The nuclear renaissance, all these new reactors, they said, were going to get built. Of course, we had to fight them tooth and nail, and it took a lot of effort. But it was very clear that they weren't going to go anywhere, given the strength of the anti-nuclear movement and the depth of the green power revolution. But now these guys have come forward, and they have put out a lot of propaganda arguing that Diablo Canyon needs to be kept open. And this is crossing a really serious line, because it's one thing to go out and argue for theoretical new nukes that might be built somewhere. But we're talking now about two reactors sitting on earthquake faults that are falling to pieces, where they cannot maintain the nuclear waste. They can't guarantee day to day that these things are going to operate in any way, shape, or form safely. They're being run by a company that blew up an American city and killed 8 people, and, you know, completely ignoring reality and fighting, and it's going to make it really, I think it's going to be a significant problem to fight these people. This is not a welcome development that these pro-nukers have come forward.
Cynthia, and I'd like to just jump in here, because the Sanders campaign, the Bernie Sanders campaign, as you know, Sanders has come out against nuclear power plants, and Sanders is running neck and neck with the establishment Democratic candidate, Hillary Clinton, and I don't know how she feels about nukes. I don't imagine she's taken a stand against nukes as Sanders has, but Sanders has a huge national platform from which he is talking about these policy issues, and being anti-nuclear is a very big deal. I think that we should see some hope in this. And, you know, there's debate on the various Facebook pages about Sanders. There's some debate about nuclear power, by the way, and I welcome all of you folks to go on and put up some comments if you want to about that. But, Harvey, can I just say something? You mentioned something about clown cars.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, this is not so funny, actually. although some people think it is. My service animal, Jiminy Winks, and I told Michael Peavy, the former chairman of the Public Utilities Commission, that he was pink-slipped. And, you know, pink-slipping means firing somebody. And then he resigned from the Public Utilities Commission shortly after that. And I'm not giving the credit to Jiminy necessarily, Jiminy Winks, my dog. But then when Jiminy Winks and I spoke at the Berkeley City Council meeting to ask them to pass that resolution to shut Diablo Canyon, they went ahead and did it by a vote of 8-1. So I think we have something here with dogs. And I just want to say one more thing about that. She has a group I'm co-facilitating with her called BARC, Barkers Agitating for Reactor Closures. And people can go to that Facebook, Barkers Agitating for Reactor Closures, and they can join that Facebook. And I think there's this thing about dogs. I'm just going to say one more word about that. People on the PUC have dogs. I know this because I've talked to them. And people on all these various commissions have dogs. In fact, when Jiminy and I went to the Coastal Commission, the Water Board Commission meeting up in Sacramento, one of the commissioners says, "Whose dog is that? Can I have that dog?" Because Jiminy's very cute. So I think we've got something here. I think dogs can help. So I'm just putting that out there. Go to the BARC Facebook and join BARC, and let's get the dogs involved, okay? That's all I got to say.
All right, we're totally into that. I love dogs, and I've seen Jiminy in action. You know, in this case, I've been an activist for 50 years. You never know what's going to work, and so let's not forget that. But let's take these guys seriously. And I take James Hansen, Stuart Brand. This guy Michael Schellenberger to me is just kind of, you know, the typical hack that comes along and does the writing and, you know, does the scamming.
I think it's more complicated than that, Harvey, because he has a strategy. He's well-funded, and he has a strategy, and he's working with labor unions and local residents who would, you know, take the brunt of a close down. They would. So he's organizing on the ground and soliciting money from these people as well. So this is going to be a campaign to be reckoned with, I believe.
Yes, that's what I'm concerned about. Like I say, I think all of us knew in the long run that we were going to beat them on new reactors, that it wasn't going to happen. But this development here of turning up in California on the ground is going to make our job of shutting Diablo Canyon a lot harder, I think. Well, Donna, what do you think?
Well, they're going to have an influence that we need to counter. I think the key is that we have to get to people that have power and influence to shut Diablo down. And what I have found throughout this whole effort, I've been focused on the nuclear waste now, but before the reactor, the people don't know. The regulators don't know. The elected officials don't know. They actually don't know. All they have is the propaganda that the nuclear industry has been putting out. So, we have to get credible, documented, factual, impartial information, which we have. We have the facts on our side to the right people. We could use a material engineer or people with the credentials that are willing to speak out. We have so many of them that are afraid to speak out because they directly or indirectly make money from nuclear, whether it's a professor with grants or even a consultant that's retired. If they're still relying on that, you know, it's hard to get them to speak out. So I'd like to say that if there's anybody out there that's a material corrosion engineer or a nuclear engineer, because those are the kind of issues that should help shut down these plants once people really know the truth. So we just need more weight on our side for the credibility issue and have them have some influence over the decision makers.
And Donna, when we were talking earlier, you were laying down the implications of a meltdown at Diablo. Could you repeat that for us?
Well, I'll expand a little bit. If you have a meltdown there, that the radiation is going to spread wherever the wind blows. California provides 40% of the agriculture for the nation, 40% of the cargo imports and exports for the nation. California goes up and down, and sometimes it's the eighth largest economy in the world, if it was a country. You will destabilize California's economy, the nation's economy, and also the world economy. So we have a nuclear plant that we don't need, that's corroding, that nobody can inspect, run by a company that has proven to kill people because they won't maintain things. They put profits over safety. And so PG&E is going to choose the future of the world here, and everybody's going to stand by. No one can afford to have Diablo Canyon stay open. None of us.
I wanted to add to that great summary, Donna.
Talking to the mic there, Mary Beth.
Okay, I wanted to add that the main point that these keep Diablo Canyon open people are using is that it would, if they close it, the power that was being supplied by Diablo Canyon would have to be replaced by gas, and therefore put more carbon into our global warming crisis. And what that's what they're claiming, even though we know that they could be replacing the 6% is what I've seen calculated by people I trust, 6% of the state's usage. And even that isn't necessary because we have a 40% surplus. Okay, so if they replaced that 6% with conservation, efficiency, and renewables, it would be so easy to do. But in the case of San Onofre, they deliberately chose to go with gas. And then we have the Porter Ranch problem with the spewing methane from that very gas
and radon
and radioactive products as well as the methane, because this was an overstressed and undermaintained storage facility for the natural gas. Well, so these people are they're first of all,
they're criminals is what they are. They're totally criminals is what's going on here. They are risking the general public, the health and the safety for private profit, and they are not liable for the health, downfall. I mean, the massive methane leak, it's not a leak, it was a gusher at Porter Ranch, has just, destabilized the entire attempt to deal with global warming. It was an apocalyptic event, and the owners of that place, they're not going to suffer anything. It's terrible. We're getting close to the end. I want to make sure everybody gets identified properly. Jim and Mary Beth in Bolinas, will you tell people how to get in touch with you and what you do there on this issue, please?
We are EON. That's EON, the Ecological Options Network. You can visit us at eon3.net. We're on YouTube at youtube.com/eon3. We have a large and extensive 400-some videos on there. We have a blog called planetarianperspectives.net, and we also maintain a blog called nonukesca.net.
Okay, thank you. That's Jim and Mary Beth. Donna Gilmore in Southern California, where do we get you?
The website is sanonofresafety.org. Just think oxymoron, sanonofresafety.org. And you can reach me through the website. The website has all documented evidence for everything that's on there, and it's there for people to use the information, suggestions, for what you can do to get involved. It says San Onofre, but it really has become more of a national source for information, particularly on the nuclear waste issue. We have 2,000 canisters around this country that are potentially cracking as we speak. And so that's 2,000 Chernobyls, and my current hive project is to stop that. But I could use some help from other people around the country and locally, and just contact me through San Onofre Safety, and I'm willing to, you know, help anybody that wants to get involved, and the tools are there for you.
And thank you so much. I'm Cynthia Papermaster from Berkeley. How do people get in touch with you? And moving ahead here to shut the Diablo Canyon.
Okay. I work with Code Pink Women for Peace, the environmental justice campaign to shut the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant. And I work on that with my colleague Jiminy Winks, my service animal, who has a group called BARC, B-A-R-C, Barkers Agitating for Reactor Closures. And dogs and cats can join that group. Any animal, including human animals, can join that group, and that group is growing. And our plan is to go to the Public Utilities Commission, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and do you folks know that PG&E funds a group called the Diablo Canyon Nuclear Power Plant Independent Safety Committee? Yeah, they do, and that is a group that is independent, although it's funded. I put independent in quotes here. It's funded by PG&E. So that is another group that barkers, including humans, can go to. Jiminy and I went to the Independent Safety Committee meeting recently in San Luis Obispo, and Jiminy entered the room, and the head of the committee said, "There's a non-human in here." And I think that I think we have a chance, as I said, with our non-human friends, because, you know, jellyfish have shut Diablo Canyon a couple times now. Humans have not been able to do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Humans have not been able to do it, but a certain form of jellyfish has shut that plant a couple times. So get in touch with me through BARC, B-A-R-C, on Facebook, or Code Pink Golden Gate, which is our Bay Area Golden Gate Code Pink chapter. We are working to shut Diablo, and we are activists, and we will do what's needed with humor and love to shut that plant.
Yes, indeed. And people all over the country, Diablo Canyon is a gun painting pointed directly at the heart of the entire continent, and we're going to have to continue to talk about this more. You guys are a great guest. Thank you so much for the crew in New York, also your good work on continuing the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. I am of the opinion that we will be shutting Diablo Canyon. One thing that came up in the recent insane Mother Jones article saying that Diablo Canyon should not shut is that they admitted, the pro-nukers admitted, that the solar energy in California supplies 50% of the electricity that Diablo Canyon does. That means that one of the reactors at Diablo Canyon has been entirely matched by renewable energy, and that the given the flood of renewables that's pouring into California, especially with its recent PUC decision, I'm sure that we will very soon be replacing the other one as well. So thank you, everybody, for joining us here at the Solartopia Show. We will be back, and at some point in the history of this show, we will be celebrating the shutdown of the San Onofre. We celebrated the shutdown of San Onofre. We will celebrate the shutdown of Diablo, but it's going to take some pretty hard work, and we have a ticking time bomb there. And so let's get it done as soon as possible. We'll see you next
All
week.
Right.
Thank you so much. On the Solartopia Green Power.
Goodbye. Thanks, Harvey.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Was there an Adam?